Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Along with countless millions of people, I have been praying and asking God to reverse the decision that was made 50 years ago in Roe versus Wade. And I'm thankful this morning that the Supreme Court has reversed that decision. I prayed, you prayed, countless of Christians prayed. I find it interesting to know that a lady named Norma McCorvey, who was the Roe in Roe v. Wade, she prayed for that decision to be overturned as well, because she gave her life to Christ and became a follower and became an outspoken advocate for life. So I thank God this morning, and I give thanks to Him because of that decision. I really am very thankful today, but I'm not thankful for political reasons. See, my hope is not in politics. My hope is not in the Democratic Party, and my hope is not in the Republican Party. My hope is not in the Supreme Court of the United States. My hope is in Jesus, and in Jesus alone. And while I am proud to be an American citizen, my citizenship is in the kingdom of God in heaven. And the way His kingdom will expand and grow is not through political parties and not through Supreme Court decisions, but it will expand and it will grow doing the simple things that we are trying to do here, and that is make disciples of Jesus Christ who will make disciples of Jesus Christ. And as individual lives are changed, and as men and women and teenagers and college students and children become obedient followers of Jesus, they become leaven and they become light. And cultures and societies can and do change. And that's what we're putting our hope in. And that's what we're putting our efforts in. But I am grateful and I am thankful when the nation that I love does make a decision that is in line with God's will. And God is pro-life. And I don't mean that as a political slogan at all. God is pro-life because God is the source of all life. If God didn't exist, if God didn't choose to create, there would be no life. All life comes from Him. He is the one who breathed life into the very first man, and there's not a one of us who take breath who didn't receive that breath of life from Him. He is for life. He did not introduce death into this world. Sin introduced death into this world. God is so pro-life that when the first murder happened and the first life was taken, the blood of Abel cried out from the ground to the author of life. I love that God is so pro-life that in the most extravagant way of all, He showed it by raising Jesus from the dead. And I love kind of the wordplay that takes place in Acts chapter 3 when Peter says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the grave." And so God is for life, and God abhors child sacrifice. It's abhorrent to Him. It is detestable to Him. He commanded His people never to practice such things. And so for that reason, and for many reasons, I'm thankful this morning. But you know what, church? The people of Jesus don't gloat. And we don't boast and we don't brag in the ways that this world does. That's not who we are. That's not how we behave. It isn't a time to celebrate a political party. It's time to go to work. And here's what I mean by that. God loves life. And I love the fact that throughout history, in every place, in every time, in every culture, when people become followers of Jesus and begin together as a church, one of the consistent things that happens is the lives of children become better. In the first century, when cultures dumped their babies, if they were girls or if they were deformed or if, folks, it was Christians who went out to those places and picked those babies up and nurtured them. The orphanages, the hospitals, the systems that we have in place can be traced back to the goodwill of people who were following the commands of Jesus. I love that that's happened all through history. In our own experience, as we helped plant churches in Burkina Faso, one of the very first stories that came back from one of the very first churches in Burkina Faso was, I think it was an elderly lady, I don't remember that detail, but a child had been abandoned in a field, left to the environment to die. And a new Christian lady picked up that baby. And the other new Christians in that village, the new church in that village, pooled their resources and supported her so that she could take care of that fatherless child. And if I remember right, it ended up being more than just one, because people begin to know, oh, those are the people who will take care of babies. And so that's what God's people do. And because of the Supreme Court decision, there are going to be more unwanted babies born. And I'm thankful that they will be born. But the church has got to rise up. And we've got to be the people who don't just gloat and parade and celebrate a decision we like. We've got to be the people who go to work and who take care of the fatherless. We've got to be the people who practice true religion. Religion that pleases the Father is this: to take care of the orphan and the widow. Now, this is near and dear to my heart because of my kids. And I'm thankful that they're, Brent and Abby are fostering, and that they have become a part of the fostering initiative. And I'm thankful that as they presented that to you, you have responded. Brent told me the other day, he said, Tenth and Broad has just responded overwhelmingly. Not only have the needs been met that were presented, but we didn't even ask for this, he said, but people have committed monthly to the cause. And so now we have monthly money coming in that we're going to be able to use. And so he said, Tenth and Broad has just really, really blessed us. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to tell you, folks, because of this decision, the need is going to be higher. There's going to be more children in foster homes. There's going to be more children who need to be adopted. And so as hard as we prayed for the Supreme Court to overrule that decision, we need to pray just as hard or harder that God will raise up young couples, young Christians, who will take these children into their home, who will foster them and nourish them and take care of them, who will adopt them just like God has adopted you and I into his family. And so we got to pray for those people to rise up. And we, those of us who may not be at the point where you can take a child into your home, you need to find a way to help people who are doing that. And it's not just buying ballet shoes and cleats. I'm glad we're doing that, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's involving yourself in the work of God, in religion that pleases him. And it's what God's people have always done. So make a commitment, not just to celebrate the Supreme Court's decision, but make a decision and a commitment to celebrate and invest in and care for the lives that that decision is going to bring into this world. Would you pray with me? Father, I do give you thanks. I give you thanks every single time something happens in this world that is in line with your will. I give you thanks because I know that life, families, people, nations just work better when we work your way and are obedient to your laws and your commands, the law of, the supreme law of love. And so, Father, I give you thanks this morning, along with millions and millions of other Christians and churches across this nation. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity that will be presented to your people to rise to the occasion and to practice true religion. I thank you for folks in this room who have done that with their lives, who have adopted. Thank you for folks who have fostered. I thank you for for the small and simple ways that even just in the last few weeks, people in this church have responded to the needs of the fatherless. All through Scripture, you have a special fondness for the fatherless. And so, Father, I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, animate us in such a way that we align ourselves, not just politically with your will, but in practice with your will. Thank you that you adopted us, that when we were lost and helpless and homeless, without hope, without a future, you adopted us into your family. And we call you Father. I literally heard a little boy in Israel say Abba to his daddy. And in an incredible act of mercy and grace, I can say to you, Abba, thank you that you have done that. I pray, Lord, that you would do that with countless others and that you would use us to bring people to a place, into a relationship where they are adopted into your family as well. I ask and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started our One Hit Wonder series last week, and I was going to be gone late in the week. And so on Tuesday, I wrote the next sermon in that One Hit Wonder series. And then on Wednesday, there's some information that I wanted to share with you about our search and the transition of our ministry staff that we announced back in February. And so I started working up that announcement, and it ended up being as long as my sermon. Yeah, you're not sure whether to laugh at that or not, are you? You think I'm joking. I'm not. There's just so much stuff I needed to share with you. So I thought, well, which one am I going to do? I could keep you here for 2 hours or whatever. So I thought, well, no, we really need to share the information. And so I'm going to share with you just an update on where we are and share some really good news with you and a call to ask you to join in something as we finish. And we'll hit our one-hit wonder again next week. So let me just talk a little bit about where we have been. And if you're a guest with us today, I apologize that you have to kind of hear some inside information, but I also hope that it will kind of let you see what kind of church we are and how we do things and how we operate and how we call on the Lord. And so thank you for bearing with some of this. But we announced in February that we were going to make a transition. Elmer was retiring, and so we announced some transitions for our staff, and Larry was going to retire, and Greg was moving to become our digital minister, and Shane was moving to become our discipleship minister. And we announced all that in February, and in February, Elmer did retire, but he stayed part-time a little bit to finish up some projects that he was working on and to help us with that. And so by the end of May, though, Larry and Elmer no longer come into the office. And so June has been a little bit different. I've missed those guys, and they've been a huge, huge, huge part of the life of this church for so long in those roles. And I am thankful, and we've said that a number of times, and we can't say it enough, how thankful we are to Larry and to Elmer. Thankful also that they and their wives are still here and still contributing to the life of our church, just in different ways. So that's happened over the last few months. Greg immediately began to assume his role as our digital minister and assumed the responsibilities for our site and our sound on Sunday mornings, and has done a great job of working with the team and leading the team and making those things happen. He's been learning and he's been adding responsibilities all the while that he's still been supporting our children's ministry. And I want to say thank you, even though they're not here, I want to say thank you to Lee and Stephanie Skelton this morning for the work they did to continue Kids Zone. And thank you to so many of you who have stepped up over the last couple of months and have recruited teachers and have yet said yes when someone asks you to teach. And so I appreciate so much the work that you have done to continue our commitment to minister to our children. Shane has been fulfilling dual roles. He walked out just as I was going to talk good about him. He's been fulfilling dual roles, continuing to work with our youth group, continuing to step in or starting to step into some of the discipleship responsibilities. He's working with our great interns. Oh, you're back, Shane. Great. He just moved one row back. That's what he did. He's been working with our great interns, just got back from camp, been taking responsibility for our faith communities, again, been assuming some roles in discipleship, so I'm thankful for Shane. In the middle of all of that transition, Alice Joy had to step up and do some work in her family with her grandchild who was born. And she and Joe have been doing a lot of back and forth traveling. And Alice Joy has only been in the office a couple of days a week. Dwayne Gray, thank you to Dwayne. Dwayne has stepped up to handle a lot of the financial roles. Jamie Smits and Debbie Nelson have stepped up and covered a lot of the responsibilities throughout the week. And so I really want to say thank you to them. And thanks to Joanne for just being the steady, constant presence that she is and making sure that things get done. So I say all that to say the last few months have been an incredible time of transition in our office and for our church. During that time, we have been searching for our next gen minister, a minister who would work with our children and with our youth. We've posted that position in all of the places that churches post that position. We've worked all the networks that we have and made contacts with people. We've searched out folks that we might talk to. And here's what we found, that this is a very, very difficult time to be looking for a minister. And that is true for a number of reasons. And I want to give you some information here so you'll kind of have the lay of the land and know what is going on in our churches and in our brotherhood. As many of you know, as we've talked about before over the last few years, churches of Christ themselves are really in a serious decline. Our congregations, I'm not just talking about 10th and Broad, I'm talking about across the nation, our congregations have less families who are raising next generation in our churches. That means that fewer and fewer young people are growing up in our churches and going to our Christian colleges and choosing to pursue ministry in our churches. And therefore, there are many, many, many more positions open than there are applicants to fulfill them. You add that reality to just a general exodus from ministry by a lot of ministers over the last few years. COVID played a really big part in that, honestly just pushing a lot of ministers over the edge. And I personally know, and I'll give you some information here of others, that a lot of ministers have stepped out of ministry and left church work over the last few years. Just again, some anecdotal examples of this reality. Ryan Russell, who some of you remember, Ryan grew up here. He married Frances Stewart's granddaughter, Erin. Ryan is a minister in a church. He's also associated with Harding University. He shared recently that he personally, over the last year, knows 15 ministers who have left ministry. And the week that he shared that, said there were two more that he had just found out about. Carson Reed, who's the vice president of church relations and the director of the Cyber Institute at ACU, he posted an article recently, and he used the word crisis. He said he did not like using that word, but he indicated that on a monthly basis, the ratio he is seeing is there are 15 churches looking for one minister who's looking. I know of a large church in Lubbock. Now, I received this information third hand, but the information I received, a large church in Lubbock who was searching for a youth minister, they had two candidates to choose from. The point is that it's a difficult time to be looking for a minister. I mentioned Carson Reed. Here's how he finished the article. He said, "Do we have a crisis? I believe so. Yet I also believe that resilient congregations pursuing God's purposes in the world will find healthy and constructive ways to prepare, support, nurture, and partner with ministers for the kingdom of God." And I agree with Carson. I believe that to be true. So that's kind of where we've been and what the lay of the land is, what we're reality that we're facing. Where are we now? What are we doing? We really had very little activity in our search, as is the case based on all the information I just gave you. But I have some very good news to share with you today, because God has supplied, and we have been praying, and God has answered prayers. And I'm really very glad to announce to you this morning that the elders have hired Diane Dold to be our children's minister. Diane's going to start on July the 1st. She's going to be working part-time, probably about 20 hours a week. Some of you may remember that that's how Greg started 25 years ago. Diane has a love and a passion for children. You know that because over the last years, Diane has taught and served and ministered and volunteered and partnered in our children's ministry. She's been a steady rock in our children's ministry. Even specifically, just over the last number of years, she's almost single-handedly taken care of Preschool Station and made that a great part of our offering every Sunday morning. She's taught in classes. She's volunteered. She's raised four kids. She and David have raised four kids in our children's ministry. So she knows it in and out. She's full of energy. She's full of ideas. She's already been texting me ideas. She's full of a hard worker. And I personally, our staff, our elders, and I know you have every confidence in Diane and the job that she will do to continue our commitment to minister to the next generation and to minister to children in our church. She's already got Greg as one of her biggest supporters, and he will continue to do that with her. I know that you will support her by saying yes whenever she asks you for help. Let's practice right now on three. Everybody just say yes. One, two, three. Yes. Wow, that was so good, Diane. Did you hear it? No, seriously, thank you for your continued support and help and work. So that's where we are now, and I really am excited about that. And I could go into even more detail of some of the ways that God orchestrated that and some things I had been praying about and thinking about and had even on the sly asked Diane a question months ago, but the answer that she gave then did not indicate a way forward. That changed for her just in the last few weeks, and some things she had been praying about. And so anyway, God, it really is. God is good. You can say yes to that. God is good. And I'm thankful for him and the way he leads us, leads his churches everywhere and leads this church. So where are we headed? First of all, hear me say this. We are committed to finding a minister to work with all of the next generations in our church. We are committed to finding a minister to work with our youth group. The elders and the ministers are reviewing how we proceed. Now that Diane has filled this piece of the puzzle, how do we move forward? We do welcome your constructive input and ideas. One of the ways that God has worked through 10th and Broad for decades is that God has used this church to raise up a host of ministers. And we need God to keep doing that. We need ministers for our churches. 10th and Broad has always been a sending church, sometimes to our detriment, because we send out some of our best and our brightest. But I think that God blesses that, and he'll bless us. And so we need to continue to be the kind of church who lives life as a church and who pursues the kingdom of God in such a way that people who grow up here think, wow, I want to be a part of that mission. I want to be a part of that. And so we need to pray that God will continue to raise up ministers. We've raised our own in terms of our ministry staff. Even though I didn't grow up here, I feel like you raised me. And you definitely raised my kids. Diane is just another in a long line of folks who have risen up out of our church to step into ministry. And with that in mind, we are actively having conversations with some of our young folks, some of our next generation folks who we are asking to pray and to pursue whether or not God might be calling them into ministry. And we are still very actively searching and working all the ways that we know to work that network and pursue finding a minister. I've been really honest and transparent with you this morning. I've not held anything back from the reality of what things look like. And some of it's not great news, but God is a great God. And this is a great church. And so Although this is a hard season for churches, this is not a hard season for our Father in heaven. I have every confidence in Him and the fact that we are in His hands. We earnestly, constantly, diligently seek His guidance. He is the head of this church. I don't think that's just theoretical. I think that's reality. I think He is leading us. And we desperately want to be in tune with Him and where He is leading us and what He is calling us to do and when He closes doors and when He opens opportunities. I think He's teaching us some things. Whenever I go through something, I want to learn. Rick Warren once said, boy, you sure do want to learn a lesson when you go through something because you don't want to be taught that lesson again. And I think there's truth to that in the kingdom. I want to learn what God is trying to teach us. I think He is teaching us patience. I think He's teaching us long-suffering. And I'm thankful that I see that in our elders. And those are fruits of the Spirit. Those are things God wants us to have. And I think that He is teaching us as a church that. I think He may be teaching us some humility as well. Ted and I have these kind of conversations periodically. Tent Abroad is a very prideful church. And there's a healthy pride. Sometimes that edges over into an unhealthy pride. Tent Abroad always kind of thought it was the exception. And in some ways, we have been. But that's only when God shows us that kind of mercy. It's not because of us. And so I think He may be teaching us a little humility as well. And we need that. So I want to see this as a character building time for us. One of the spiritual disciplines that God has been teaching us over the last few years is to dig deeper into the spiritual discipline of prayer and fasting. To really and truly seek Him, to sacrifice in really some simple ways, not really hard ways, but to sacrifice in some simple ways, just daily bread, so that we can open our minds and our hearts and be more in tune with Him and hear His voice. And so in that vein, I want to call you as a church to a day of prayer and fasting this Friday, July the 1st. Over the last few years, we've used the first day of the month very often as a day of prayer and fasting. And I want us to use July the 1st as a day of prayer and fasting. I want to ask you, if you would, to participate in that, make a commitment to God to do that, and fast from your breakfast and from your lunch that day. And so basically from Thursday night after you eat supper until Friday night when you eat supper, I want to ask you to fast. Obviously, there are folks who can't do that for medical reasons. There are lots of other ways that you can participate. You can go online and search out some of those ways. But I want to ask you to make a commitment on July the 1st to fast and pray and seek God for our church. And to seek God for our search, for a minister to work with our youth and our next generations. Use that time to ask God to bring His kingdom. That's what Jesus teaches us to pray, that His kingdom would come, that His will would be done. Seek Him in fasting and prayer, that His kingdom would come in your life, in my life, in the life of our church. Pray specifically that God would meet the needs that we have in ways that we may not and cannot imagine or see yet. That He would provide for us. That He would raise up a host of ministers. And He would use us to do that. That He will teach us in this season how to be faithful and obedient. I'll post something on our website. We have a button there, a link to prayer and fasting. And I'll post something on that early this week, just to remind you of this. We'll put it in the news line and some other ways, but I want to ask you to join me on July the 1st to fast and pray and seek God and His kingdom for us. If you would join me in prayer now, please. Father, I give You thanks. I do. I believe with all my heart that You are the leader of Your church. You're the head of Your church. You're our leader. You're our head. We're Your body, and we only do and should only do what You instruct us to do. And so, Father, we, in order for that to happen, we need to be deeply committed to Your word, to know Your will, Your good and perfect will, to know how to do the things that please you, to use our body and all its various members to accomplish your purposes. And so we need to know your word. We need to hear your voice. And so I'm thankful for opportunities like this Friday when we intentionally seek you in a way that's different from other days. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would communicate your will and your ways to us, that you will align us with your will and your ways, that you will teach us and shape us and mold us and build character in us in ways that please you. Father, I'm thankful that you have provided Diane to work with our children. And I'm thankful in advance for the answers to our continued prayers that you will provide as time goes on. Help us to be diligent and patient and long-suffering and active in pursuing what you have planned for us. Father, I thank you for this church. Truly, from the depths of my heart, I thank you for this church. And I pray for your blessing on us. And I pray that as you bless us, we would be a blessing to our community and our city, to our nation, and to the world, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.